This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. And how are you this morning, Charlie?
I am doing very well, Dean. Thank you. This is an interesting show. I'm broadcasting, as you know, this is my final report from Costa Rica. Just gorgeous, gorgeous day here today. Sun is shining. It's 25 degrees. It's really, really pretty. I'm in a small town called Samara, down the coast from when I last spoke with you last Saturday. And it's really, really pretty. It's a beach. It's actually a surfing town. And Dean, I know you're too young to remember the 70s, but this is a throwback to the 70s kind of place. It's like hippies. It's beautiful, but it's a real mix. It's, you know, gray hairs, little kids, hippies, great, great waves, so much fun. And really good food, lots of great fresh fish. So certainly been enjoying myself in Costa Rica. And I'll tell you more about where I'm going, but you're not even at home today either, are you?
I'm in Port Hope this weekend because I'm on stage at the Capitol Theater. Yeah, we have night, and we have two today and one tomorrow afternoon. So we're performing Tom Thompson.
Excellent.
At the Capitol.
I think that's a great show. I saw the show when you were in Belleville with the gang. It was super, super show. So I encourage everyone, since you do have more shows, I don't know if you're sold out or not, but yeah, two shows today and another one tomorrow. If you're in the Port Hope area and you can get to the Capitol Theater and see the Tom Thompson review, so to speak, it's historical, it's beautifully done. And you know, Dean is such a great actor and singer. He's very, very good at this stuff. So just want to share a couple of announcements. Thank you, everybody, for sharing some of your upcoming events with me. First off, tomorrow is March the 8th. And International Women's Day, also the day we lose an hour, or you lose an hour, you people in daylight savings part of the world, no loss of hour here. So tomorrow, March 8th, 1 p.m., so yes, remember, you're going to lose that hour, 1 p.m., the Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society is meeting at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, 777 Lawrence Avenue East at Leslie. Tom Lounsbury will be presenting Dwarf and Unusual Conifers in the Landscape, which sounds pretty fascinating. And also, Virginia Hildebrand will be providing tips on preparing a new bed for a rock garden. So who knew that you couldn't just sort of throw some rocks in the ground and call it a rock garden? But no, Virginia's going to explain how to properly prepare a bed, the soil, the surroundings for a rock garden. Guests are always welcome. So tomorrow, Toronto Botanical Gardens.
I have long been a fan of rock gardens, I have to say. They are one of my favorite types of gardens. I think it's because I grew up with one in the house that I lived in Ancaster. So I'm very fond of them.
Yeah, my grandmother had a beautiful rock garden in Kleinburg, above the Humber River. They had a home and I just dropped something. They had a home that was above, like sat up high, and she had this crazy beautiful rock garden, and she worked it. She was she loved her rock garden. She was in clambering around well into her 70s and 80s in that rock garden, putting little bits of things in amongst the rocks. She's actually my one gardener inspiration in my family was my grandmother. Neither of my parents were much of gardeners. Couple more things coming up. Cheryl. Okay. Actually, Cheryl also wanted to remind us, or let me know, that snowdrops have showed up in her garden, snowdrops coming up through the snow. So I think when I get home later this week to my Prince Edward County home, I'm going to see snowdrops as well coming up in the snow. I don't know if there'll be any snow left. But bottom line, Agent Court Garden Club meeting Monday, March 9th, day after tomorrow. It's an in-person meeting at 7:30 p.m. at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. Betty McCulloch, she's a citizen volunteer member. I told you she's been a person who has tagged or been involved in tagging over 13,000 butterflies at the Rosetta McLean Garden. So she'll be presenting her experiences as a butterfly tagger. That's very, very interesting. A week today, the Brampton Hort Society is hosting CD Saturday. So CD Saturday and Garden Show at the Century Garden Rec Center, 340 Vodin Street East in Brampton, 10 till 3 p.m. next Saturday, free to all, lots of sort of cool and fun things for the whole family. So garden experts, vendors, children's activities, all kinds of pretty fun stuff going on there. So if you're in the Brampton area for next Saturday, 10 until 3 p.m.
Beautiful. And so I should give out the numbers. Okay. Mm-hmm. We would love for you to give us a call. If you live in the Toronto area, here's the number to use, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in Ontario, but outside, 64740. And of course, you can also use that line to text if you wish. Again, 1-866-740-4740. And do let Owen and Tanishka, our operators today, let them know if you're a first-time caller. I'll give you the garden wings and, of course, our mantra, call often, call early, and one question per call, please. And we have been having a bit of rain this morning here where I am in Port Hope, and I think that's kind of throughout the province. And as I said, I always get a little giddy this time of year because I know that it's all going to melt away, and as you said, the paper whites and all the crocuses are going to start to pop up, and I love this time of year.
Okay, but not paper whites, just to be clear. Paper whites are a tropical bulb.
Oh.
They're little white. Yeah, you think of them because they're like little daffodils. They are narcissus, but we grow those indoors. So what's popping up are things like crocuses, of course, and snowdrops are called snowdrops because they come up through the snow, which is pretty fun. Like you're right. It's such a beautiful time of year. It just gets us all jazzed up for what's coming, right? We love the spring for many reasons.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's pretty darn mucky out there as well, but I still love it. I love the muck because of what's coming.
Is it mucky in Collingwood or is there still lots of snow?
There still is a fair amount of snow. Yeah, there's a lot of snow. And of course, we've had so much snow that on the ski hills, you know, the skiing will still continue to happen usually through March break, of course. And so we've still got lots of skiing to go. And actually, we get into some really, really nice skiing this time of year because, of course, the temperatures are milder. Mm. And so, you know, people like this time of year because it's not so bitter up on the hill.
Oh, I remember spring skiing in Jasper a long, long time ago, and very different snow conditions, but sun is shining. People are in shorts and t-shirts. It was great. It was so much fun. Hey, I just kind of remembered something here. Remember last week we had a call, I think it was from Mary, and she was wondering about hazelnuts and, you know, where she could get hazelnuts, et cetera. I did receive an email from, her first name is T-I-U. How do you pronounce that? T-U Van Winkle. So thank you for the email, T-U. She says, good morning. I was listening to your program yesterday, as in last Saturday, on the radio, and a woman was asking about hazelnuts and where to find the trees. And then the answer is Grimo or Grimo Nut Nursery. So G-R-I-M as in mother, O. Grimo Nut Nursery in Niagara-on-the-Lake. It's amazing. Linda and her dad have been growing nuts for ages, and they provide other nut trees and pawpaws, which are a specialty native tree. They sell wholesale plus to the general public and have a wealth of knowledge. They even sell the nuts that they harvest to the public. So there is a link. So grimonut.com. So Grimo Nut rockgardens.com. Thank you. Thank you very much for that information. That's a great tip.
Okay, great. Indeed. Yes, thank you very much. Again, the numbers to call just before we dive into our first break, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, and we are back. So I'm sorry for anybody who's listening and is confused about what might be happening, what you're hearing. We are having a little bit of technical issues, but the funniest part is that Dean, who's in Port Hope, is sort of coming in and out. And I, who am in Costa Rica, I think I'm coming in reasonably okay. Dean, are you there? Okay, let's go to Bonnie, our first caller. Good morning, Bonnie. Calling from Dundas.
Good morning.
What's going on at your place?
Hope you're having a great holiday and work.
Thank you.
Holiday, I guess it is too. What I'm calling about is what I call a Christmas cactus. Mm. My daughter has these little tiny Christmas cactuses, and they're kind of they're not a smooth stem, where mine's smooth. And hers has been blooming. And mine I've had for over probably 50 years now. And I think it might have bloomed 3 times. So she said she puts hers out in the summer outside, but I just put mine on the deck. I didn't put it on to the ground. Okay. And so I washed it all off before I brought it in and rinsed down through the soil and everything, brought it in. And I thought it was doing okay. And then I noticed that the ends of the stems, I guess, were breaking off. This was about 3 weeks ago, and I kept looking at it. It was driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. So I decided to repot the whole thing. So I took it out of all the soil that it was in and laid it down, and I washed all the roots, all the dirt off the roots, so that if there was anything on it, it would be gone. And I repotted it with fresh soil, hadn't even been opened, the package. It wasn't cactus soil, but it was garden soil. And now I notice that it's doing it again. So I'm not sure what's going on there. I did, the girl I was talking to, I did find earlier, about a month ago, these little tiny, maybe half an inch, little tiny worm.
And that's what color? White?
A worm?
Yeah, the worms. Did you see what color they were?
Kind of a, I guess a beigey color. They weren't black or anything.
Right.
Anyhow, I just noticed that the soil, when I was watering it through, that the soil was moving. And I thought, what the heck's that, you know? So I kind of dug around and found this little worm. So I found three of them over a couple of days. So I took them out and looked at them and got rid of them. And then that's before I repotted it. So now it's doing it again. The branches are breaking off with new soil and everything. And I don't know what's going on. The old stem has become kind of woody looking.
Right. But that's normal. What is your cat's name I can hear in the background?
Oh, Mitzi. She's driving me nuts here. Spring fever, I guess.
Yeah, listen to her. I love it.
So I don't know what's going on with my cactus. Should I be putting it in a different soil or?
Okay, what? So let's go back. I think a couple of things are going on. It is possible, you refer to it as a Christmas cactus, but it is possible because there are two very commonly grown, they're not desert cactuses, they're forest cactuses. One we call a Christmas cactus, the other one we call an Easter cactus.
Okay,
so the Easter cactus is a different shaped leaf. It's more of an oval. It's not that ziggy zag tip.
That's a Christmas cactus?
The Christmas cactus is shiny. It's got a zigzag edge or margin. Okay. versus an Easter cactus, which is more oval, and it's almost got little fur along the outer edge, little fuzzy fur. Anyway, they're treated basically the same, but they do bloom at different times. Typically,
yeah, well, I think that's what mine is, and maybe an Easter cactus. I mean, it's
yes.
bloom. I've had it for over 50 years.
Yeah, that's great.
You've
done
great.
It was
big and beautiful, and it's, over the years, it's gotten real scrawny looking. I'm just wondering, do I have another bug there or what?
Okay, so when you did the repotting that you said, how did it smell? How did the soil or the roots or the plant smell? Was it at all kind of soggy smelling or,
No. There were some dark areas which I cut off. Mm-hmm. I didn't cut the whole root off or anything, but I felt the root. And if it was kind of mushy, I kind of cut that part off.
Okay, good.
And
that's
I
good.
Kind of and, like a whitish colored root. You know,
yeah, that's what you want to leave. You want to leave the white or the ivory colored. They're the fresh roots.
Yeah, and the I other cleaned thing the pot. I scrubbed the pot, make sure that it was clean and everything.
And it's a pot with drainage holes, right?
Yes, yes.
Good. And you mentioned
it was a clay pot.
Okay, perfect. So you mentioned it was garden soil that you used for repotting. Is it actually garden soil or is it just a pot general potting mix?
It's potting mix.
Okay, good. Okay, good. I just want to make sure you didn't use garden soil because garden soil is for the garden.
No. This is a brand new bag that I hadn't opened yet.
Yeah.
Potting mix.
All right, so so when we see any little insects, little worms, anything moving in the soil, right away I suspect fungus gnats. And baby fungus gnats are little tiny worms. They grow up to be insects that fly around. They look like fruit flies. So
I haven't seen anything flying. That's why when I was watering, I checked to make sure that there wasn't anything flying, and I never saw anything except for these little wiggly worms. And there are only maybe three or four at the most that I found.
Okay, so what I would do is keep it on a sunny window ledge. West or southern window ledge is preferred. That's where it is. And remember to turn it every Sunday or whatever day so that you're always turning it 180 degrees. Yeah. Only water it, feel the surface of the soil. It's wait till it feels dry and wait until there's very little sponginess left in the soil. And when you do water, water pretty thoroughly so that the water drains into the saucer below and is absorbed by the pump.
I usually put it in the sink and water it through, but I'm, like you say, I look at it, and if it's still kind of moisty feeling, I don't water it at
don't
all.
Water. Exactly.
Maybe I'll water every 2 weeks.
Okay, that sounds about right. Yeah, it's hard to say for sure.
Why the ends might be falling off.
All right, for now, just don't do any repotting, don't do anything fancy, keep it on the window ledge, keep it in the sun, only water when it feels quite dry, not on the calendar, but based on a finger test. And let's talk again. I think you'll find it's going to improve as the days get longer. No repotting, no fertilizer, nothing fancy. Like I said, just good sun, water as necessary. And give me a call in a couple of weeks if you're still having issues. Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Okay, thanks for the call there, Bonnie. Yeah, we are going to go to a break in a second, but here are the numbers, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Don't wait till the last 15 minutes because then we might have trouble getting to you, okay? We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. This is The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio on this 7th of March. Hard to believe the month is just tripping by. My goodness. And the first full day of spring will be 2 weeks today, I do believe. I think it arrives on the Friday the 20th, but at around 10:45 in the morning. So first full day of spring is 2 weeks today. And I'm giddy about that. And would if you've got an indoor gardening question, an outdoor gardening question, a pruning question, soil question, compost, whatever it is, give us a call. We'd love to hear it. And the numbers are 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. But Charlie, I am curious. Of course, you've been in Costa Rica for about 2 weeks now, and what's been of late? You moved. It's so. Changed?
We started, Elliot and I started in a little seaside town called Playa Potrero, which is where I spoke with you for the last two Saturdays. You know, lovely beach, Pacific coast. And then we got in the car and drove down south, down further down the Pacific coast to a small town called Samara, which is where we are now. And we've certainly been enjoying, it's very, even just the 100 kilometers away as the crow flies, these towns are very different. It's greener here. There's banana trees everywhere, treated like, nothing. Lots and lots of palm trees, different kinds of palm trees, used a lot as a landscape plant. The Pacific coast of Costa Rica is fairly dry. So we've got, warm weather. This is the dry season. So it's kind of dusty ground. The flowering things are things that we're very familiar with as houseplants, like, almost like Christmas cactus, lots of crotons, lots of dracaena. I'm seeing out my back here where I'm living. I'm in a small bungalow right now, and in the back garden, there's a tree, and I'm 99% sure it's a pomelo. Now, what's a pomelo? It's kind of like a grapefruit. So it's a big green fruit. At first I was going, whoa, that's a pretty big lime, because I've seen lots of lime trees, or limon, as they're called here. Season matters. So papayas and mangoes are not in season in the sense that we're not eating them off the trees right now. But things that are in season that we're getting tons of are melons. So lots of watermelon, pineapples, all the honeydew melons and the yummy cantaloupes that we all love so much. So yeah, time of year matters in terms of fruits. But it's always so interesting. And the birds here are different, like the sounds of the birds are different. And yet they're the same grackles, not same, but they're cousins of our grackles and cousins of our doves and, a bunch of vultures. Like there's always birds making noise somewhere. And it's interesting to look at them and go, oh, you look so familiar, but your tail is longer than it should be. So it's been really fun from a plant and bird and even wildlife perspective.
Okay. It sounds really, really great. Charlie, we've got Susan on the line, and she is calling from Burlington. Welcome.
Hello.
Morning.
You're cutting in and out a little bit, so. But I figured you couldn't do a show without an amaryllis question. I have three that I did everything I was supposed to do with, but they never woke up this winter. Their bulbs are firm. Mm-hmm. They look healthy, but I have seen not a speck of green.
Okay, so you're experiencing what I was experiencing before I left to come on this holiday. I had put away a bunch of amaryllis. Only a couple woke up. So one thing I did, and I'll see when I get home if it made a difference, very gently, you're kind of squeezing the bulbs to make sure they're firm and they're still in their dark place and you haven't watered, but there they are. They've got all that loose, papery, it's called a tunic on the outside, which is like an onion, right, with the brown skin on the outside. So what I do is just really gently with my fingers, I remove just as it falls, comes off, some of that brown tunic out of the pot, away from the plant. Sometimes I find that kind of gives them a bit of a jolt and wakes them up a bit. Now, I'm not saying strip it all down. Do not take it out of the pot, but just give it a little bit of a cleanup in terms of what's in the pot. And when I get home, which will be next weekend, I will be checking on my amaryllis that I left in my dark basement to see if anything has shown up. If it's still like you have, dormant, I'm going to just take them out of the dark and I'm going to bring them into the light and I'm just going to wake them up with some one watering and some light. And I'm sure what I will get is leaves. They're still alive, but I was just waiting for those flowers. And if no flowers are going to show up, so be it. I'll just grow them as greenhouse plants or, for the rest of this season, spring and summer. I'll put them out for the summer. But, then you can do the same if you wish, Susan. Just wake them up with some water and some sun. And just don't be surprised if no flowers show up. If it's just a leafy experience, And hopefully, again, we do everything right again next fall, and we do get flowers next winter.
Okay, so should I try the peeling and leave them for a week or so? And if that doesn't work, then bring them out? Is that the deal?
Sure. Yeah, because then you and I'll be on the exact same schedule and we can talk again.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know I did everything right this year because I was in Mexico and I wasn't even tempted to go and water them or anything. So
good. Well, there you go. So I know it is frustrating. You know, plants have a mind of their own sometimes. They're on their own schedule. So yeah, just go ahead and try that sort of giving them a little bit of jolt with, it's almost like you're massaging the bulb, removing all that papery outer coating. And it's not all of it. You won't remove all of it. You'll remove 90% of it, but you'll still leave what's attached.
Gentle exfoliation.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I love that.
Thanks, Susan.
Sounds like Susan has put me in the spa frame of mind here, I think,
sounds
now.
Sounds good to me.
On the garden show. I love that.
Well, you know what yeah. I'm... Thanks, Susan. Where I'm heading after the show today is inland. So we are driving. It's about a four-hour drive inland in Costa Rica. Of course, as you might realize, there's two coasts. There's a Caribbean coast on the east and a Pacific coast on the west. And in the middle, it's all volcanoes or very old mountainous volcanoes. So that's where we're heading. We're heading up to Lake Arenal, which is a huge, big inland lake. And we are going to be hot springing and maybe mud bathing. So that's perfect. I like this, exfoliating my amaryllis, and I'll be mud bathing.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Yeah, I hope very soon. Yeah, there's a lot of...
I have a couple of things to add in amaryllis land, actually, because for what it's worth, Charlie and Susan, I summered two amaryllis bulbs outside, and one of them did, the other one has not. And so, you know, I didn't have luck across the board. But Alice in Mount Hope, she sent you an email with a couple of pictures, and she to it as her food basics amaryllis, which made me laugh. And she said that she did what you told her to do. She looked in the box and saw that it was only a bulb, and now she has a beautiful bright red flower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the on sale food basics amaryllis in the box. Because remember, we were talking about how, you know, they put them at half price after Christmas, and you didn't want to buy them if they were flowering in the box. But if it was still dormant, sure, it was worth a try.
Then for sure, yeah. Listen, we have lots of room on the line. On the lines, give us a call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We do have a question that came in through text, and it's a Mary, and I think Mary is Toronto based, and she wants to know about companion planting, which I think is a really great question this time of year as well, because we're planning ahead for our vegetable garden. So she would like to know which vegetables complement each other best when putting together a vegetable garden.
Good question. Depends what vegetables you want to grow. The classic that comes to mind, and Dean, I'm sure you've heard of this, is called the Three Sisters. So who are the Three Sisters? Corn, beans, and squash. So why do they complement each other? So the corn grows up tall and of course, flowers and fruits up at the top of the plant. The beans will use the corn as stakes and grow up the corn and produce flowers and beans. And the squash stays down at ground level and is a big vine and will cover the soil and produce fruit down at ground level. So you've got three levels of fruit or, you know, harvest. You've got that nice ground cover, so you're keeping moisture in the soil because the squash will shade the soil. And you've got the corn that loves sun so much, popping its head up above everything and getting as much sun as it can. So those are the classics. And of course, that was First Nations or Indigenous tribe people who grew and recognized how well those work together. We also know some plants definitely do better in the presence of others. So companion planting has different reasons. One is we plant plants together because there's a benefit to one or both of them in the presence of the other. Sometimes that benefit is attracting pollinators. Alyssum comes to mind. It's an annual flower, sweet alyssum, excellent flowering annual, which brings in all kinds of pollinators, which can be very helpful when it comes to squash plants, cucumbers, any of the peppers, plants that need to be pollinated in order to produce fruit. Then we think about plants we plant together, because the benefit isn't necessarily pollinators, it's more to protect. So we think of garlic and onions as plants we plant around other plants to keep them safe from aphids or tomato hornworms or thrips or something that might come in and destroy our crop. So we've got plants that protect, we've got plants that provide a benefit, and then we have plants that just seem to do better in each other's presence. And some, a lot of that is anecdotal. Off the top of my head, I'm not going to be able to remember anything that works really well together. I think that I find that tomatoes are an interesting plant. We always say they're narcissistic. Don't plant anything close to your tomatoes. Give them lots of room. Let them stand alone. And yet, little basil at the base of your tomatoes, basil does really well, and so do tomatoes when you put them together. It's like, since we eat them together, it kind of makes sense that they like to grow together. So sometimes there's that kind of, we learn and we sort of try stuff in that sense. But like I said, it really matters. For Mary, like you said, I think she's calling from the Toronto area. Lots of sun, generally speaking, for vegetables. And soil. Make sure you've got your soil really, really, even if it's a small little garden or just a big pot on your balcony, make sure that it's a really good quality soil. If it's straight out of a bag, that's okay, but make sure it's being watered properly. If it's a pot, fertilize as necessary, synthetic or organic, but organic matter in the ground is really important. And that's interesting too, because here in the tropics where I am, organic matter doesn't last. Like, you would assume that everything would grow like crazy in the tropics because the weather is so great, it's warm and it's this and that and the other thing. And yet I know that any organic matter, like if something dies, like an insect or a leaf falls on the ground, it decomposes so fast that it doesn't hardly provide any benefit, because the decomposition is like overnight almost, versus in Ontario where it takes weeks and sometimes months to decompose leaves and insects. So it's really, really different, the soil and how we treat it in different places. But organic matter is a no-fail winner.
Okie dokie. Those numbers, give us a call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We're going to jump into our break, but we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, we are back. I had to say goodbye to Dean. He's off to another audition, and his delay was kind of breaking things up a little too much. So you're stuck with me, everybody. And I'm happy, happy to hear from you. I will give you the numbers, except I don't have the numbers. Oh, well, you know the numbers. Let's go to Mike, who's on the line right now, calling in from Dorchester. Good morning, Good morning, Mike. Hello.
Yes.
There you are. Good morning.
Well, your program has been cutting in and out, and I thought it just cut out again.
No, we should be better now. I think we're better. I hope.
Okay, I've been doing some reading up on fertilizers and herbicides and so on. And one of the things I'm finding is that since a lot of the insects, worms, and so on in our ground are coming out of hibernation, including the chipmunks, that this is the wrong time of the year to put any pre-emergence herbicide on your lawn. Wait till May. Let these little critters get out and get going to do good things that they do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's a good argument for that. Mike, the only pre-emergent that we have in Ontario that I know of is corn gluten. And So corn gluten is completely organic. It's a byproduct from the corn processing industry. It's just a fluke that they figured out that corn gluten actually prevents seeds from germinating. It's just a funny story how that happened, but it was at the University of Ohio and it was a Christmas party and point is, we know that corn gluten placed on the surface of the soil where seeds are sitting, dormant seeds are sitting, they will not germinate in the presence of corn gluten. But of course, when it rains, the gluten will eventually dissolve and disappear. So yes, I would say you are definitely too early now. The rule of thumb with the pre-emergent corn gluten but usually mixed with a fertilizer. So it's a herbicide and a spring fertilizer put together in a bag. The rule of thumb is to use that in the spring when the forsythia start to turn yellow. So just start to break bud. So I'm not in Ontario right now, so I don't know for sure, but I would assume that it is still too early. It's probably still a few weeks away, depending, maybe down in the Niagara area, it might be time, but as we get up further into the GTA, et cetera, it's going to probably be a couple of weeks before that goes down. And why do we use that on our lawn? Well, we're trying to keep crabgrass seeds from growing that blew around last fall, because crabgrass dies but goes to seed before it dies. So thousands of crabgrass seeds are just sitting there waiting for spring. And there's also dandelion seeds and other, just seeds of things that have blown around late last fall, sitting on the surface of our lawns, waiting for sunshine and warm rain to grow. And the corn gluten will work. It's not 100%, but it will certainly inhibit the germination of seeds we do not want. Does that make sense? Oh, I lost Mike. But the other thing, Mike, I want to mention is, remember, pre-emergent herbicides are just that. They are herbicides. They kill plants before they emerge. So don't be doing any top dressing with grass seed on your lawn and using a pre-emergent at the same time. That's sort of the bottom line on that. We just want to be very careful that we aren't stopping seeds from germinating at the same time as we're planting seeds. So it's one or the other with 6 weeks in between. Got to wait 6 weeks for that corn gluten to dissolve and become inert before you start doing any turf grass overseeding and top dressing, which I know we'll talk more about because we talk about it every spring. All right. Thanks for that call. That's a good one. Sorry to ramble on so long, but I just wanted to give you the whole story. All right. Maureen is standing by. Good morning, Maureen.
Morning. You have sun? We have fog and drizzle. I can't see across the street.
Wow, that is foggy. No, but I got sun in 20.
The good thing is I actually can see some grass now.
Oh, really? Spring is in the air.
Yeah, so a little bit of grass. It's a small patch on the hill there, but wait. I'm calling because I really love Chinese lanterns and have always wanted to have some. So I bought some seeds. They were available last fall at the Edwards Gardens, a garden shop. So I was delighted. But I just realized, looking at them, that I was supposed to plant them last September. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that you had to plant them in the fall. So if I planted them in as soon as the ground is soft enough, if I put the seeds in, would I get some Chinese lanterns this year?
You know what I would do? I'd stick them in my fridge. They need winter. So that's why you wanted to plant.
Okay.
You wanted to plant them last fall because you wanted them to experience cold. So when seeds require cold before germinating, we call that stratification. It's very normal. It's very common for hardy plants. So what I would do if I were you is, it depends how much room you've got in your fridge. Even just a little Ziploc bag with some moist seed starting mix or a potting mix, like a clean, sterile bit of moist mix in the Ziploc bag. Toss the seeds in there and get them into your fridge. I'd even put them out in, what's this now, March. Try and keep them in there for at least 6 weeks, six, seven, okay. Even 8 weeks. And then bring them out and then start sowing those seeds. Of course, that would be sowing them by that time, maybe straight outside into some pots or trays, or if it's not yet frost, if we're not frost free yet, then sowing them indoors in a pot. Either way, put them into a potting mix once you sow them, and just watch. They will, once they grow, they will grow. they're very, very vigorous plants once they get going.
Okay, all right, so they can be saved. Yay!
I think so. But remember, you know, this is considered a plant that could be considered invasive. So if you get like 10 plants germinating, don't plant all 10. Plant one
or 10 seeds. All righty, and then I'll share the rest.
Exactly, and then everybody won't love you anymore.
Okay, thanks so much, Charlie. Enjoy
thanks,
the rest
Marie.
Of your holiday. Okay.
Thank you very much. I'll see you again next Saturday from a little more local location. So quick break, our final last break. Thank you, Owen. You're doing a fine job here. We'll be right back after this.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
So funny how many flowers were just named in that little intro. And of course, now we are going to go off to Peterborough, chat with Lauren about a flower that wasn't named. Good morning, Lauren. How are you?
Good morning.
What's going on at your place?
Well, I've got a kel lily bulbs that I dug up from last year, and I see they're starting to root, and there's a mass of them, about 7 bulbs, so I'm not exactly sure what to do with them.
Wow, it's great. What color flowers did they have last year?
They were, oh gosh, that's a good question. I don't remember.
Oh, well, you're going to find out, because, yeah, kel is coming.
I know it's pink, really pretty anyways, yes.
Yeah, there's one of the real trends with the kel is are the dark, dark purple that almost look black. That are
no, they
very
that. Yeah.
On trend, you know, the for the collectors out there. But kel is good for you. Tropical bulb, something that we, as you recognize, cannot be left outside over winter because it wouldn't have survived the winter. So you dug them up, you brought them in. If you're going back out in the ground with them, then you will need to start them indoors in pots because they will not survive until we're frost-free. Many people will just put them in pots and then leave them in pots over the winter. Just bring them in pot and all, or just get them into a frost-free location. The main thing is they will survive the winter dormant as long as they're frost-free. Yours are even, I'm not sure where they are, but they know the days are getting longer and they know that it's getting time to, you know, get perky, get growing. So your job is to pot them up into pots with drainage holes, with fresh potting mix, into some sun or under some lights, some grow lights, and you want to get them in as much light as you can to keep them short and green as opposed to tall and spindly, because it is still quite early, right? It is still just early March. You won't be going outdoors with those in Peterborough for probably till when? Middle of May, end of May. So it's you've got a few months to grow them indoors. So you need lots and lots of light. Remember, before you take them out, once we are frost-free, you're going to harden them off. So you're going to slowly introduce them to the real world from your nice warm home to the big bad outdoors. So it's a multi 7 to 10 day process to get them out and leave them out.
Can I break all these bulbs apart?
Yeah, you can. Yep. Yeah, you can. The smaller the bulb, the less likely they are to flower. The bigger bulbs are the ones that will certainly produce flowers, but there's nothing wrong with having, yeah, they're lovely green leaves. They're a very ornamental plant because it's a nice vertical element in a container or in the garden. They really do a nice kind of a foil with so many of our round flowers and our, you know, round plants. And this is a nice vertical plant with such an interesting flower. So for sure, break them up. When you're potting them into your pots at home, just under the surface of the soil, not too deep. But of course, when you go outside with them, you'll probably go slightly deeper. So not too deep.
You know how I stored them was in shredded paper just downstairs in my basement, which is warm.
Oh, it's good. Well, that's why they're growing, because of the warmth. But good. Yeah. And they didn't shrivel up and dry up or any of that. And of course, it's a fine line between too dry and too moist. Which reminds me, when I get home, I have canna lilies that I'll be checking on that are stored in my basement. So we all have something stored away to remember. So thanks for reminding me.
Okay. Can I tell you a quick story on my amaryllis?
Sure.
I put it out last fall, like you're supposed to, or last summer, brought it in the fall, brought it up, you know, in November, nothing happened. I was going to throw it out. I put it back downstairs after Christmas. I went down the first week of February, seen a leaf, and now the flower stalk is 28 inches tall with a big bulb at the top.
Sweet. Good story. I love it. That's exactly. So that, you know, so what you saw was leaves first and then flowers, which can happen. We know it can happen. So for all the people that are frustrated with their amaryllis, get them out of your basements, get them up onto those kitchen counters and windowsills. If you get leaves, so be it. But just like you had, you might get flowers after the leaves. So good on you. Thanks for sharing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. All right. We still have just a couple of minutes left. Let's see what's going on with Nancy. Good morning, Nancy. Good morning, Nancy. Nancy. Hello, Nancy. I don't even know where Nancy's calling
Hello,
from.
Hello, Charlie.
There you are. Good morning.
Yeah. I'm calling from Stratford.
Oh, sweet. Welcome.
Charlie, I have a problem on my front lawn. I have what I think is native strawberry plant growing throughout the entire front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other? Do you think it is a native?
Oh, yeah. Well, strawberries, there are wild strawberries that are native. Absolutely.
Wild.
So,
wild, yeah.
But why you don't like them? You want a lawn that looks like a golf course?
No. I'm a member of the Horticulture Society here, and we do not want that kind of lawn. But I'm just wondering, if I've got so many. Should I just leave it as it is?
I would. I mean, wild strawberries are a great ground cover. So like I was mentioning earlier about using alyssum because they're pollinator-friendly, and they provide that nice ground cover around vegetables. Wild strawberries are amazing. Same thing. Ground cover, shade the soil. Very much friendly in terms of pollinators. And, well, of course, bonus is strawberries, but you rarely get them. It'll be the birds that get them because they're tiny. But they're great. They're really sweet. I'm letting wild strawberry move in certain areas on my garden, because certainly there was wild strawberries when I moved in onto my property. And with all the messing around with machinery, I thought they'd been annihilated. But nope, they're pretty tough. They've come right back. And I'm letting them grow as ground cover. Why not?
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Good luck with that. Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, Charlie. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you. Yep, I know. Bye. I'll be back for next Saturday, so I'll be reporting from closer to home and a little more tuned into what's going on weather-wise. I did check this morning, and as you said, and both Tanishka and Owen have told me, it's foggy and it's rainy, but it's going up to 9 degrees, I think, there in the Toronto area, so, or even in my Prince Edward County, which is close to Belleville area. So yeah, it's spring is happening, and I'll be a little more tuned into all that next week. Before I get home, though, I mentioned we are going for a drive. We're going up to La Fortuna is the name of the town, the Arenal Volcano, about a 4-hour drive today. And we're doing some guided trail walking tomorrow. You always want to go with a guide because you get much more local information with the local guides. We're going to see some sloths, and we're going to see, I bet you, a bunch of birds and some great plant material. And then we're off to the coffee chocolate part of the country for some tours and tastings and learning more about how these things are done. But I'll tell you all about that next Saturday when I'm back. Thanks, Dean. Wish we could have stayed together online. Break a leg. Thank you a ton. Tanishka, Owen, you guys have been great. Couldn't have done any of this without you. And the callers, same thing. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.